Well, on this Father's Day, we are picking up in our series going through 1 John. So we're looking at 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Beginning in verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that He appeared in order to take away sins, and in Him there is no sin. No one who abides in Him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen Him or known Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, and he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Heavenly Father, we pray that this passage, that you would be moving and working, that it would be coming alive in our hearts, our minds, and our actions, that you would help us to move towards righteousness and understand the way in which you love us. We pray these things in your Son's holy name. Amen. It's a common practice when babies are born for people to maybe point out features about that newborn baby that, you know, their eyes look just like their dad's, or, you know, their hair is the same color as mom's, or whatever that might be. And then as children grow up, we start to see characteristics that remind us of their parents. You know, I have a lot of similarities with both of my parents. And, you know, I think I've shared with you before that my mom prayed for a number of years that I would have a child just like me, and then has apologized greatly since, because I do. But the same is true. You know, I am my father's son, and my children are my children. We take on certain characteristics of those who we are raised by. And that's the idea that really John is getting at here, is that we are supposed to look like our Father, our heavenly Father. One theologian writes this, he says, every Christian should always live in three arenas: what we are, what we shall be, and where and what we should be. We are God's children. What we shall be is conformed to the image of Christ when we get to heaven. And what we should be on the basis of these two are people who live pure lives. So we are children of God. We are in the process of looking more and more like Him. And right now, in this very moment, we should seek to live lives full of purity, because God is pure. John wants us to be reminded that we are children of God, that we have been adopted into His family. John uses this word see or behold, and it's intended to direct our attention to the love of God for us. Really, what it's being encouraged of us is to ponder or to wonder about it, almost as if it is this surprising type of love, that the Creator of the universe loves us. And not just a little bit, and not just in some superficial or, you know, kind of way, but a deep, abiding way. John John calls us children of God. And by that, he's, our origin, our birth, our family relationship, family likeness, family characteristics, we are children of God. We have been adopted into His family, and because of that, our lives are designed to look more and more like Him. That we are designed to look like our Father. So as Christians, we should look a little bit like God, more and more so like Him. The love of God is broad, it's deep, it's marvelous, it's unimaginable, incomprehensible, boundless, endless, measureless. It is beyond any type of love that we experience here on earth. The love of God is unchanging, it's unfaltering. The way in which God loves us doesn't change dependent upon who we are or what we look like or how we act or behave or anything. The love of God is constant, and He loves us. He loves us as His children. He welcomes us into His family. He's paid the price, for admittance. You know, our sin separated. We've been talking about this for the last several weeks, that our sin has separated us from God. And oftentimes that's what happens. Children become estranged from their parents. Things happen. And God says, I don't want to be estranged from you. I don't want you to be distant from me. I want you right here with me where I can day after day, moment after moment, demonstrate my love for you. And so He welcomes us into the family and He says, no matter what you're facing in this moment, no matter what difficulties or problems, know that I, your Father, am standing with you. That He's got your back. You know, one of the things I say to, you know, Elliot has had some bad dreams lately. And he wakes up and he's scared. And one of the things that I say to him is, I'm here. I'm with you. You know, whatever is going to come after you has to go through me first. And the same thing, God says, whatever this world is going to throw at you has to come through me. Whatever problems that you might be facing, whatever difficulties, whatever you're afraid of, whatever adversity, God says, I am there with you. I'm not letting you go. I'm holding you tightly. And so part of being a Christian is having a greater understanding of what that love for us looks like. Believing. For me, that's really what I had a hard time being a Christian because I had a hard time believing that anybody, especially the creator of the universe, could love somebody like me. And our world is full of people like that. Well, surely, you know, God couldn't love somebody like me. You know, I would love to come to church, but if I stepped in a church, the building would fall down, or I'd get struck by lightning, or whatever it might be. People think that maybe they're not good enough. And unfortunately, we as Christians have often perpetuated that idea, that we hold the world around us, you know, you're not quite good enough. And God says, well, that's true, that you're not quite good enough. But I want you anyways. I love you anyways. And guess what? When you become part of my family, God says, what I begin to do in your life is I make you good enough. I move and work in your life in such a way that you become like me. All those not good enough parts begin to fall away. And you look more and more like me because you are my child. And I will raise you, and I will change you, and I will help you to be the best you that you can be. And the best you that you can be is my child, says God. One of the things that John focuses on a lot is that we cannot be in right relationship with God if we are continuing in our sin. because God is pure and holy. And so we talked about how the Christian life is about trajectory. That is this continuous process of removing sin from our lives. That it is at times a long and hard and difficult process, but it's about the trajectory, the moving forward, the sinning less and loving more. Last week I invited you to ask yourself that question. Are you sinning less and are you loving more? And if you're sinning less and you're loving more, then you are on the right trajectory. You are heading in the direction that God is calling you to. And John even says, he says that you won't fully reach that until you're in heaven. That we are not fully sanctified or made to be holy until you are in heaven. But because it's a process, doesn't excuse you from moving forward, for having that to continue to be the goal, to continuously moving forward. And so, friends, it's this trajectory. John says, children of God, do not continue sinning. That doesn't mean that your life is suddenly overnight free from sin. What he's getting at is that trajectory. Is your life less and less sinful and more about loving God and following after Him? Trajectory. John also says that the opposite is true, that for those whose life is continued to be full of sin and unrepentant sin, that it's often an indication that they're not really following after God. Really, what John is providing us here with is a litmus test, a way in which we can determine, am I following after God? Have I accepted Him as my Father or not? Or does my life look more like I'm following after a different father? And John lists the devil. It's a litmus test for the world around us. Now, as we're navigating our way through life and we're deciding things like, well, whose voices should I listen to? Who should I trust? Who should I be following after? It's a litmus test again. What does their life look like? Are they sinning less? Are they loving more? You know, a good friend of mine, his name's Gareth, and he works with the juvenile justice system. And one of his roles throughout his career has been partnering kids in the juvenile justice system with mentors, people who will come alongside of them and model behavior. And something he says, every kid has a mentor. Everyone. Every kid will have a mentor. Just frequently, they choose role models or people to look up to who are not making good choices. All of us have role models, people that we are following after. And John is asking this question, which role model are you choosing? Are you choosing to model your life after God or after the devil? And if you're not quite sure, you can ask the question, well, what does my life look like? Am I sinning less? Am I loving more? And we can begin to answer that question for ourselves. And so we have this picture of what the Christian life is supposed to look like, how we are supposed to look like our Father, what a good Father looks like. God, that's the ideal. That's what Christian fathers are supposed to model our parenting style after, is God. But the reality is that all fathers, all earthly fathers, fall short of the mark. All parents fall short of the mark. We mess up, sometimes really, really bad. Sometimes we have parents who are horrible. Sometimes we don't know our parents. Sometimes they're all different kinds of situations. And that's where the church is designed to step in. You know, my good friend Tim, he said to me one time, he said, the greatest thing that I can teach my children is that I love them. Because if they can't understand my love for them, then they'll never understand the love of the Father. And so if we're honest with ourselves and we say that we live in a world of people who have no idea what it looks like to be loved by a father, then it is our job as the church to step into that role and to begin to show them. To begin to show them what love looks like. You know, one of the interesting statistics in church attendance is that Mother's Day is one of the highest attended Sundays and that Father's Day is one of the least attended Sundays. So dads, props for being here. Way to go. There is a calling for us as fathers. Whether it's with your children or just the people around you, to step up. To step up and to love. And so that's my encouragement for you this morning. Is to step up and demonstrate the love of Christ to the people around you. Maybe you're already doing that. Maybe you're already doing that in your family. Awesome. Think about maybe one person that you know whose life that you're not doing that. Maybe one person that you know doesn't have that, where you could be intentional in that. Where you could be intentional and just loving them. Going out of your way. You know, and this doesn't have to be elaborate. And one of the things I've said to you over the years is that a smile can go a long way. Presence can go a long way. Saying hello, sending a text message, sending a birthday card can go a long way. Seeing people and letting them know that you see them. Taking an interest in the things that you see them doing, commenting on them. Loving the people around us. And so, God shows us what love looks like. God has shown us the great lengths in which He is willing to go to demonstrate His love, that He sent His one and only Son to die for us in order that we might be in right relationship with Him. Friends, how far are we willing to go to demonstrate the love of the Father to the world around us? Let's go and let's be bold. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much. I thank You so much that You love us. My prayer this morning is that You would help us to have a deeper understanding of that. To have a deeper understanding of how deep and wide, how long, how lasting, how eternal Your love is for us. That we would know and understand that there is nothing that we can do to make You stop loving us. And that we would share that with the world around us. Father, we thank You, we praise You, and we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.